Good afternoon. What a blessing it is for us to worship together through live streaming again this afternoon. We welcome any visitors that may be watching on the live stream. Also, we welcome this afternoon Pastor-elect Bryce Zwart to our pulpit to lead us in worship. And this afternoon, the sermon is titled, Finding Our Home with the Lord of Hosts. The scripture reading and text is from Psalm 84. Just a note about office bearer voting. Voting will close next Sunday, May 10th, after the AM service. Most of the members should have received an email with a voting code to vote online. If you have not received this or wish to vote via email, please contact Doug Duma. Votes can be submitted via phone, mail, or email to your district elder or the clerk of council. Now let us come before the Lord with singing. Song number 492, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing, all verses. After the singing, we'll have a moment of silent prayer to prepare our hearts for worship.
Well, again, it is a great joy to be with you to, this afternoon to bring God's word to you. Hear these words from the prophecy of Zephaniah. Sing, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O Israel. Be glad and rejoice with all your heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. The Lord has taken away your judgments. He has cast out your enemy, the King of Israel, the Lord. He is in your midst. You shall see disaster no more. In that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, Do not fear, Zion, let not your hands be weak. The Lord your God is in your midst. The mighty one will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with his love. He'll rejoice over you with singing. Indeed, the Lord rejoices over us. He rejoices over his church this afternoon. Shall we pray for his blessing on our worship? Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we do come before you again in the afternoon of this Lord's Day, and we're thankful that even though we cannot gather together, the gospel goes forth. The kingdom of Christ advances in this world. Father, we pray that the worship that we bring from our homes would be honoring and acceptable in your sight. We pray that if there are visitors tuning in with us, that they would be blessed and gripped by the gospel of Christ. These things we ask in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. For our opening hymn, let's sing Psalm 100, Selection B, All People That on Earth Do Dwell, 100, Selection B. Once again, we have the privilege to pray to our God, but first, let's read Psalm 4. Psalm 4 before we come to him in congregational prayer. To the chief musician with stringed instruments, a psalm of David. Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. You have relieved me in my distress. Have mercy on me and hear my prayer. How long, O you sons of men, will you turn my glory to shame? How long will you love worthlessness and seek falsehood? But know that the Lord has set apart for himself him who is godly. The Lord will hear when I call to him. Be angry and do not sin. Meditate within your heart on your bed and be still. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. There are many who say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift up the light of your countenance upon us. You have put gladness in my heart more than in the season that their grain and wine increased. I will both lie down in peace and sleep for you alone, O Lord. Make me dwell in safety. Shall we pray together? Gracious God and Heavenly Father, we pray that you would hear us when we call, O God of my righteousness, for we know what the psalmist that you have relieved us in our distress. And so we pray that you would continue to have mercy on us and that you would hear our prayer. For Lord, we need you to hear our prayers this afternoon. We need you to hear our prayers whenever we pray to you in the name of Jesus. For certainly we live in a world where there are many who are saying, who will show us any good? Many people in this world who have not yet believed the gospel, they're asking that question, who will show us some good? Because so much bad has come their way. Father, we pray that you would lift the light of your countenance upon us, that you would indeed put gladness in our hearts, that you would give us peace to lie down and to sleep, that you would give us the peace to know that you alone make us, the church of Jesus, to dwell in safety. Father, we pray that you would indeed show us some good, that you would show us that good this afternoon and this week, even as we find ourselves in a context where perhaps some of us have begun to question your goodness. Perhaps some of us wonder, is God really good? Is he really gracious? Is he really faithful in the midst of all that's going on around us? Father, we pray that you would lift up the light of your countenance upon us again and again, that we would know what the psalmist says elsewhere, that you have remembered us, that you remember your covenant, that you bless those who fear you. Father, we pray that the kingdom of Christ would indeed continue to advance forward in this world. We thank you, O Lord, that the kingdom does indeed advance in the midst of this pandemic, that there are people who are ready to hear a good word in the midst of so much bad news around us. And so we pray that the kingdom of Jesus would go forth boldly this afternoon, that would go forth boldly into all the ends of the earth. We pray, Father, for those who are especially tasked with bringing the gospel of Jesus to the nations. We pray for our church planters, Lord. We pray for those who are working in the most hopeless of places, that you would give them the strength they need to proclaim the hope of the gospel, that many would tune into their services as well. Father, we pray that you would continue to raise up godly men in those places to labor with our church planters in this ministry of reconciliation, this ministry of the gospel. You'd raise up godly men to serve in the office of elder and deacon, the places where the church is yet so very small. Father, we pray also for our persecuted brothers and sisters around the world, for those who for some time have not been able to gather together corporately in the courts of the Lord. Father, we pray that these 8 weeks of our inability to do the same would give us but a taste of what it's like for them. They would cause us to grow in our appreciation for the freedom that we have to worship you, even in this way, this virtual way, where we can yet gather spiritually from our home. Father, we pray for the mission of our own church here in Jordan Station. We pray for the ministry of Emmanuel, that you would grant Pastor Swale that he stands in need of take up his labors with joy and gladness, that you would give him what he needs to labor in your word, to counsel your people with wisdom from the word of God. We pray, too, that you continue to give wisdom to our overseers, to our elders and deacons as consistory and counsel, as they, too, must make decisions for the direction of our church and how we're to respond to all these things the government tells us to do. I pray that you'd give us wisdom as we seek to pray that we would be able to meet again very soon together in the house of the Lord. Father, we pray for those who are sick and afflicted amongst us, those who are perhaps hospitalized or those who are in hospice care. Father, these are difficult times to need medical care as we cannot always see our families once we go into the hospital, once we go on hospice. Father, we pray that the kind hand of Jesus would be with these dear saints who feel like they are all on their own. Father, we pray that the hand of Jesus would be with all of us as we seek to carry out our callings in God-honoring ways, be it from the home, whether that's in school or from our regular jobs. Lord, we know that all this time together as families perhaps creates some tension too. And so we pray that you'd give us as families patience with one another. that you would cause siblings to be kind to each other, not to fight with each other, cause them to listen and to obey their mom and dad, that you give also parents patience with their children, that they would discipline their children out of love, but not rashly or out of anger, as is perhaps tempting to do from time to time. Father, we pray for the ministry of your word this afternoon, that the light of the gospel would shine in our hearts as we come again to your word, as we read that word and meditate upon it. Lord, we thank you that you have indeed moved men, that they were carried by the Spirit to commit the revealed will of God to writing, that you have preserved for us the scriptures to this day, that we might hear another good word. Father, we pray that you would bless the words of your servant's mouth and the meditations of all our hearts, that they would be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Before we come to God's word, our song of preparation, we'll sing 531, Nearer Still Nearer, stanzas 1 and 4. 1 and 4 of 531. I invite you to turn with me in your Bibles this afternoon to Psalm 84. Psalm 84, we work our way together to this psalm this afternoon. As we do that, I trust we'll find a point of contact with the psalmist, as we also find ourselves longing for the courts of the Lord to be with the people of the Lord, perhaps now more than ever before. Listen to how the psalmist expresses it. How lovely is your tabernacle, O Lord of hosts! My soul longs, yes, faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. Even your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They will still be praising you. Blessed is the man whose strength is in you, whose heart is set on pilgrimage. As they pass the valley of Baca, that is the valley of sorrows, they make it a spring. The rain also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. O God, behold our shield and look upon the face of your anointed. For a day in your courts is better than 1,000. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man who trusts in you. So far, the reading of God's holy word, may he bless us as we reflect on it, meditate upon it this afternoon. Brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, perhaps some of you are wondering why I've chosen for us to work our way through this psalm this afternoon. After all, this psalm is about worship. This psalm is about the joy and privilege of worshiping God with the people of God. So maybe at first glance, it might not make much sense to select a psalm about worshiping in the presence of God with the people of God, and we find ourselves in a context when that is not even possible. That, of course, is what makes this day, this Lord's Day, somewhat lamentable, isn't it? Our inability to gather together, our inability to be in the presence of God with the people of God, to celebrate the redemptive works of God as the people of God have done throughout the ages of history. But what if it is actually the case that our current context is precisely what makes this psalm, Psalm 84, so particularly relevant to us this afternoon? Psalm 84 is especially relevant to us this afternoon because as we enter into what is now the eighth week of social distancing, I hope and I trust that the psalmist's experience of longing for the courts of the Lord has perhaps begun to resonate with us more profoundly than perhaps it has ever done so before. On the one hand, these words are so familiar to us, aren't they? I have chosen to sing these words for opening worship services at more congregations than I know. But as I have been more recently reflecting on these words, it's almost as though they have inspired new meaning in my life. I have begun to pray these words with greater fervency than I have ever prayed them before. Because before this pandemic put so many of our lives on pause, I wonder if I've been taken for granted the great privilege, the great joy of being in the presence of God with the people of God. And so I'm left wondering whether among the various reasons for why the Lord has sent this pandemic is to teach me, to teach all of us, not to take for granted in the future things that perhaps we have taken for granted in the past. Because here we are again this afternoon, not able to see one another. Here I am preaching in an almost empty sanctuary. Here I am, I've moved here with the desire to quickly make this new place, this new country, my home. But how difficult it is to do that when I cannot even see my people. I imagine that many of you can relate to these sentiments this afternoon because all of us are beginning to feel the hurt, the pains of isolation and social distancing in ways that perhaps we have never felt them before. No doubt many of you boys and girls listening from home this afternoon wish you could only just go back to school tomorrow to see all your friends again. Many of you parents are ready to go back to work. And of course, there are grandparents, there are great-grandparents who are shut in. And perhaps for them especially, perhaps for those of you who are tuning in this afternoon from the nursing homes are feeling more isolated than you ever have before. And so with each passing week, home begins to feel less and less like home as the people, the children, the grandchildren who make your home feel like home are not able to see you. Yet even in light of everything that's going on around us, today is still a good day. Today is still a good day in which we are still able to know the rest that God provides for our restless people through his Son, Jesus Christ. And this Lord's Day, even though we cannot assemble together in the courts of the Lord, is still a good Lord's Day. And that's what the psalmist shows us here in Psalm 84. Even though the psalmist finds himself in a situation where he is far away from the courts of the Lord, even though he finds himself in a situation where he is very far from home, the psalmist comes to meditate on the most wonderful reality that even though he is so far from home, he yet has a home. Even though he is far from home, far from the courts of the Lord, he yet has a home in the Lord of hosts. He comes to know that as long as the Lord is with him, he knows he will be blessed, no matter what sorrows or trials come along his way in this spiritual pilgrimage. The psalmist shows us this afternoon that there is no mountain too high, no valley too low. There is no distance that is too great to keep his people, God's people, from experiencing the fellowship that he offers his people. And so it's fitting that we should meditate on the same things this afternoon. That we all should come to see again and again that we can trust God in times of trouble, even as the psalmist did so long ago. Because even on this, the eighth Lord's Day of social distancing, we still have a Savior. Even on this eighth Lord's Day of social distance, we still have a Savior who speaks. Christ Jesus, the chief singer of this psalm, he speaks to us through this psalm. And this is what he says. Wherever you are, no matter what you are going through, you still have a home in the Lord of hosts. And by faith in him, all the blessings that God promises to shower upon his people, these blessings are yours, even here and now. To you belongs the blessing of delighting in the Lord's dwelling. Surely if God gives space to sparrows and safety to swallows, will he not continue to do the same for you? And to you belongs the great blessing of sojourning in the Lord's strength. In the second stanza of this psalm, verses 5 through 7, the psalmist describes a spiritual pilgrimage that every believer finds himself on. But the key point the psalmist would make for us is that God provides for pilgrims what they could not otherwise provide for themselves. Indeed, even in their weakness, they say with the Apostle Paul, when we are weak, we are strong. We go from strength to strength as each one appears before God in Zion. And to you belongs the blessing of glorying in the Lord's grace. Because our God is the God who delights in doorkeepers. And he withholds no good thing from those who walk uprightly. You have a home with the Lord of hosts. The psalmist begins in verses 1 and 2 by saying, how lovely are your tabernacles, how lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, yes, even faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out. They sing for joy to the living God. You see, the psalmist recognizes that the Lord has embedded within every human heart the longing for home. But in these first two verses, we come to see that this draw of home for the psalmist is not merely a building, it is not merely the temple, but this draw of home is rather grounded in that which the temple represented to the people of God, God dwelling in their midst. It was there in the courts of the Lord that God's people most tangibly experienced the blessing of Emmanuel, God with us. It was there in the courts of the Lord that they heard from his word, where they heard again and again the gracious words of Moses, the law of Moses, and those reminders of the covenant that God would be his people, that God would be his God, and that they would be his people forever. It was there at the temple that their identity as those whom God had singled out of the world to be a forgiven people was most profoundly experienced as they saw with their eyes and smelled with their noses the smoke of those sacrifices burning on the altars. It's that same profound sense of identity that we experience when we gather together in the courts of the Lord on the Lord's Day, when we gather together around that greater altar, the cross of Christ, the message of the cross, and we gather together at the table. We are solidified again and again in who we are as that special people of God whom he has called out of this world for his own possession. And so the psalmist is fully aware of what the Lord bids us to know more fully this afternoon. The human heart's deepest longings can only be satisfied by the living God. It's almost as though he is echoing those familiar words from Psalm 16. I have no good apart from the Lord. He is my portion and my cup. In the presence of the Lord is fullness of joy. The psalmist illustrates the gracious character of this living God when he says in verse 3 that even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself where she may lay her young, even at your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Even the most simple and seemingly insignificant of creatures find a home in the Lord of hosts. In the Bible, the sparrow served to symbolize that which is almost next to worthless, next to nothing. Perhaps you're familiar with what Jesus said to his followers about these birds in Matthew chapter 10, when he said, "Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? And yet not one of them falls to the ground without the will of your Father in heaven." Let me ask those of you who are tuning in this afternoon, what does it mean to you that God cares even for sparrows? Even if you feel as though you are worthless, even if you feel as though no one really values you, the Lord Jesus speaks to you in this psalm and he says, you'd only consider the sparrow. If God provides for sparrows, will he not also provide for you? Jesus goes on in Matthew 10 to say to his followers, do not be afraid, for you are worth more than many sparrows. And just how much does the Bible say that you are worth? The Apostle Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 1 that it was not with gold or silver that God ransomed you from the futile ways of your forefathers. No. It was with the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, like that of a lamb without spot or blemish. That was the cost that God was willing to pay for you. And so when God sees you, he doesn't see you for who you are and your flaws and your failures. He does not see a person who is worthless, who has no value. When he sees you, he sees a person who has been adopted in Christ, a person whose life is now hidden with Christ in God. He sees a person who, when Christ, who is your life, appears, he sees a person who will also appear with Christ in glory, as Paul said in Colossians chapter 3. He sees a person who has a home in the Lord of hosts. That's what the psalmist is capturing here in this first stanza of the psalm. Perhaps some of you are tuning this afternoon and you are so restless, you are stricken by worry and anxiety, or you are striving and striving after the things of this world but not finding what you're looking for. To you also, Christ Jesus speaks in this psalm and he says, consider the swallow. Because whereas sparrows were known for being worthless birds, the swallows were known for being restless birds. The swallow is a bird that is almost always in the air. From the rising of the sun to after its setting, it is winging its way through the winds. It is never at rest. But when the time comes for the swallow to mate and to lay her egg, she makes a nest and she rests there peacefully. And so it is the case for us this afternoon, brothers and sisters, that God provides rest also for us in the one who said, come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Or to borrow the words of St. Augustine, what the psalmist has come to realize is that our hearts are restless until they find rest in the Lord. Only the Lord can ultimately fill the void in our hearts and lives. Not another friend, not a spouse, not a better job, all of which are good things, but none of those things in themselves can fill the void that persists in the human heart so long as that human heart remains detached from the Lord of hosts. Because our hearts remain empty unless they be filled by God with a joy that cannot be found by anything this world or this life has to offer. And so what Christ calls us to see very clearly this afternoon is that anything apart from the Lord and his presence in your life will only lead to a dead end. If you're tuning in perhaps for the first time this afternoon, you need to hear that. Because all the things that you're striving for in this life will not bring you the satisfaction that you're looking for. But so long as you refuse to look to the Lord of hosts, you'll be forever trapped, as that old country song goes, looking for love in all the wrong places, looking for love in too many faces, when the gospel bids you to look to one place and to one face, when the gospel bids you to look to the place of the cross and to the person, the face of the Lord Jesus. For blessed are those who dwell in God's house. They will still be singing his praises. Do you believe that this afternoon, brothers and sisters? Are you experiencing this sense of longing and yearning which the psalmist has been expressing here? I trust that many of you are. But until we are able to meet again, let us echo these words with the psalmist. Let us pray that God will give us strength, the strength we need to persevere until we are able to meet again, because that is what he promises in his word. God provides strength for sojourners. Even at a time like this, when we cannot experience the sweetness of being with God's people, we know the strength of God's power. Each one of us goes from strength to strength as we appear before God in Zion. We know the blessing of strength in God as we look to him. When you walk to the next stanza of verses, you come to recognize that the psalmist has a solid grasp on the world in which we live. Because along the pathway of our spiritual pilgrimage in this life, we are confronted with all kinds of sorrows and sadnesses. That even in the midst of those sorrows, believers have a joy in the Lord which is able to flood even the most distressing of droughts that this life in a fallen world can bring. According to the psalmist, this is a journey, this is a sojourn, a pilgrimage that doesn't begin somewhere outside of us, but it's a journey that has its origins within us. Verse 5, blessed are those whose strength is in you, whose hearts are set on a pilgrimage. As the ESV puts it, blessed are those whose strength is in you, in whose hearts are the highways to Zion. Blessed are those whose hearts long to be in the presence of God with the people of God. They who look for this are those who truly know the blessing of the living God. And even those who are blessed in this way, whose hearts are set on pilgrimage, they encounter the sting of living life in a fallen world. Listen again how the psalmist expresses it. Even as they pass through the valley of Baca, that is the valley of sorrows, they make it a place of springs. The early rain also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength as each one appears before God in Zion. Even in the face of many sorrows, steadfast sojourners are strengthened by their hope in the living God. We also are strengthened by that hope when we too face so many sorrows in this life. And so our resolve to stay the course in this spiritual journey does not diminish when we cling to those words of the Apostle Paul, that these light momentary afflictions are but preparing us for an eternal weight of glory that is beyond all comparison. See, the valley of Baca is associated with sorrows because that valley refers to a very dry and desolate place where there is no water. And yet the psalmist says that when the child of God enters that place, that dry place of spiritual drought along their spiritual journey, the Lord transforms even those places into places of springs of living water. Yes, there are those dry seasons of life when we feel like the Lord is so far from us. We face many sadnesses in this world, viruses spreading, weeds growing, thorns and thistles cutting, economies crashing, death threatening. Yet it remains the same today that in the midst of all these things, God is faithful to provide what we need for the sojourn. And through these seasons of sorrow, God brings his people again and again to the end of themselves, that might learn more fully to trust in him with all their hearts, to lean on him and not on their own understanding. They learn to look to him rather than to themselves, to pray for his strength rather than to press on in human strength and self-reliance. What a wonderful thought for this afternoon. According to the eternal plan and purpose of God, God transforms those places of sorrows into places of springs. He sends spiritual rains from the throne of Christ, overwhelms us with pools of mercy. And so we as believers can honestly say with the Apostle Paul, even when we are weak, that is when we are strong. Because when we acknowledge our weakness and we recognize that we do not have in ourselves the strength that we need, that is when the Lord enables us again to go from strength to strength. Surely God provides for pilgrims what pilgrims could not otherwise provide for themselves. And that's a summary of the gospel, isn't it? That God provides for us we could not provide for ourselves. Strength for the sojourners, each one of us appears before God in Zion. Never are we stranded in our sojourn because we have found a permanent home in the Lord of hosts, and that humbles us, doesn't it? When we consider how good and how faithful God has been to his people, we begin to glory in his grace rather than in ourselves. We begin to boast not in ourselves, but in the cross of Jesus, where the grace of God was earned for us, that God might become for us a sun and a shield. And recognizing that, the psalmist prays to God in verses 8 and 9, O Lord, God of hosts, hear my prayer. And give ear, O God of Jacob. Behold our shield, O God. Look upon the face of your anointed. The psalmist prays this way, people of God, because he's come to know that the Lord is near to all those who hang on to him in humility and faith. And while we cannot be sure what particular king the psalmist has in reference here when he says that God ought to look upon the face of his anointed, we can be sure that ultimately the psalmist speaks and refers to that greater king to come, to King Jesus. For it's on account of King Jesus and his work that God hears all our prayers. God beholds Jesus. He looks upon the face of his anointed. And he hears our prayers and our yearning to know the blessing and the joy of his presence more and more with each passing day. And so we come to see it, don't we, that although there are these senses of longing, these senses of sorrow and fear, as these things cast their shadows over the psalm, we find that the cross of Jesus casts a greater shadow. The cross of Christ casts its shadow over the psalm as the psalmist's longings and sorrows and fears, they all find their answers in him. The cross of Christ casts its shadow over the psalm because ultimate satisfaction cannot be found outside of him. The cross of Christ casts its shadow over the psalm because strength in the midst of our weakness can only come through him. The cross of Christ casts its shadow on the psalm because grace and glory can only be granted on account of him. And so I trust, brothers and sisters, that we can honestly confess to the world, better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. You see, when the psalmist makes his assessment of the world, when he evaluates the world and all the fleshly pleasures that it has to offer, when he evaluates his own heart and the longings of his heart, he comes to this conclusion, I would rather be a doorkeeper. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. He has come to recognize that a lowly life with God is far better than a luxurious life without God. Do you believe that also? that a luxurious life without God is far worse than a lowly life with God. The Lord God is a sun and a shield. He bestows grace and glory. And no good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. I hope you can honestly say in your hearts this afternoon that you believe that promise to be true. Because it's oftentimes pretty easy, isn't it, to take stock of our lives and to think, to wonder, is God holding out on us? Do you ever think that way, that God is holding out on you because you're going through a trial? Because life isn't going according to plan? Is God holding out on me? The fallen hard heart cries out. That's why we need to be reassured again and again that the Lord withholds no good thing. The Lord withholds no good thing from those who walk uprightly. If he did not withhold the glory and exaltation from Christ at his ascension, then he will not withhold the same from you. Because when he sees you, he sees one who is hidden with his son, Jesus. God is not holding out on us, but he loves us in such a manner that he gives us in mercy exactly what we need and when we need it, so we might grow in his grace and come to bask in his glory. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. The New Testament unravels the unimaginable scope of this promise in so many places, but I trust you remember how the Apostle Paul states it. What then shall we say to all these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also freely give us all things? And so the psalmist concludes with a final beatitude. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the one who trusts in you. If you've placed your trust in Christ this afternoon, you can be sure that he is withholding no good thing from you. Not now, during the pandemic, not ever, but he loves you. Because our God is a guide to provide space for sparrows and safety for swallows. He provides strength for the sojourn. He delights in doorkeepers. And so it makes sense, doesn't it, the psalmist would say of this God, how lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, yes, faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh, they sing for joy to the living God. A day in your courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the courts of wickedness. Indeed, people of God do pray and long for the Lord to grant us the joy of gathering together very soon. But until that day, rest in the reality that you indeed have a home in the Lord of hosts. Even today on this 8th Sunday of social distance, even though it's saddened by the fact that we cannot see each other face to face, we still glory in the grace of God. We still know that our home is in him, that he is with us. That though we feel so far from home, the Lord is our home. He is our safety and our refuge. Amen. Shall we pray? Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we come before you again this afternoon, and we indeed do long with the psalmist for the courts of the Lord. Lord, we long to see one another again face to face. We long to be in the presence of God with the people of God. But until you grant us that joy again, we pray that you would remind us that you are not withholding any good thing from us. You're not holding out on us as your people. Remind us again and again that if you have given us your Son, how will he not also give us all things? Lord, we pray that you continue to provide what we need for the sojourn, that it might be said of us that we were steadfast in our sojourn, that we were sober-minded, that we kept our wits about us, that we did not get lost or distracted, that we did not grow weary or faint-hearted, but that we trust in the Lord who gave us springs, who gave us pools of mercy. These things we ask in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. For a song of response, let's sing 84, selection C. O Lord of hosts, how lovely, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalm 84, selection C. Should we pray for the offerings? Gracious God, we pray that you would bless the offerings that we give to the church here of Emmanuel as well as to the Christian Counseling Center. We pray that you would bless these offerings, these gifts that we bring from hearts of gratitude for the furtherance of the kingdom of Jesus Christ. This we pray in his name. Amen. We'll sing 570 for our doxology. Should we pray for God's blessing? Gracious God, we pray that you would bless us and keep us. We pray that you'd make your face shine upon us, that you'd be gracious to us. We pray that you would lift your countenance upon us and give us your peace. for Jesus' sake. Amen.